sister, her hand is up. How many mics we got? Just one?
Yeah, one.
All right, if you could stand up, sis. He's giving you the microphone. Thank you.
Okay. I understand that a lot of this is geared toward, you know, people that work in an office situation. What do you do when it's a ministerial staff position, specifically like a worship leader who seems to be stuck in the past, what we did 10 years ago, which was fine. He's very talented. But, you know, the last couple of years particularly, we have just totally gone to a new level.
Praise God.
And he just doesn't seem to get it.
Yep.
You know, how do you, first of all, how would you even measure someone in that position? You know, and where do you go?
That's a good question, because we do have ministerial assignments. And, but even with that, there's expectations around that. You know, there's their study time, their prayer time. Your counseling, you got to be prepared to give counsel. you got to spend quality time with God and know the word so you rightly divide as you're ministering and giving out counsel. In terms of music, and particularly here, I can talk from, I believe that the psalmist, I think there's a connection with the prophet in that psalmist in terms of the ministry music going forward. This is what we're talking about, right? So I would think one or two things. There should be some type of expectation of what that assignment is all about. I don't know if you were here last night, but Bob Yandian talked about the same old hymns. Did you, any of y'all hear that? There's a whole new style of music out here. And when the generation or the people God brings to your ministry, you know, if they're looking for this style and we're still on page 32 of the hymnal, that's going to come out. That's going to affect other things.
He's even admitted that because of his
past
30 years ago, he doesn't even listen to even Christian music.
Yeah.
And it's like, where do you get your inspiration? Well, I draw from within.
Well, he may be one of the people you have that you can't fire. I know it's a little late to talk about. That's why I said, don't hire anybody you can't fire.
Right.
And some people call them sacred cows, if you will. But that is almost like a come to Jesus meeting. I would recommend that, you know, the proper authority levels that's in place need to come together and determine the value of him staying on, the impact of such. And two, thank you, my sister, or going. The other thing is try the some of the remedial steps. Can we retrain them? Some people are not teachable. Hello.
Right.
Yeah. If you can't retrain or reteach, if he's not able to receive, got to give you the exit plan. I am thoroughly convinced of that. I tell people, I don't negotiate with the devil. I don't give him customer service. I don't have to be on the phone trying to provide excellent service to a demon. I don't have to do that. That's not in my job description. My heavenly Father hasn't. He told me to cast him out.
That's right.
So you hear what I'm saying, and I know there's more. We could probably talk a little bit offline.
Does that come from your elders or
yes.
That particular type of firing rather than human resource?
We cannot, no one here, and I make sure this is on tape, no one here fires without Dr. Winston's final approval. Now, we make our recommendations. That's part of my assignment, to maintain efficiency and effectiveness in our capital, our people. I recommend, you know, he's better suited over here. Pastor, we two more classes. If you don't get it, this is my recommendation, you know, whatever. And the managers do that because he holds them accountable for that. We could talk more, but in the ministerial capacity, you need the shepherd. There has to be some kind of covering and guidance, I feel, through a pastoral anointing on that, because that's a ministry gift. And obviously it does what it's supposed to do to the body, but yet it can affect other parts of the body too. So there's an ache somewhere in the joint, your body is giving you a signal something else is wrong. Maybe a muscle, pull, ligament, something, but you will tend to that. We could talk a little bit more. Yes, sir. Oh, excuse me. Can she go first? She had her hand up and then get him the mic. Thank you, my sister, for waiting.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
First of all, I want to say that I've been tremendously blessed.
God bless you.
By this workshop.
Thank you.
And my question is sort of similar. I noticed here at Living Word that you have a lot of people walking around with volunteer staff badges. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know if you use the same criteria to measure your volunteer or your unpaid staff.
Yes and no. When you say same measure, what we do is we pastor holds the leaders of the volunteer areas accountable for their work. So if you're over the prayer area and you have a team of prayer warriors that are volunteering, well, there's certain assignments and things that are in place for them to do. And so he holds that leader, because that leader is responsible for engaging all their volunteers, developing their schedules. You're going to pray for cities today. We're going to pray for the schools today. That comes out of the leadership of that volunteerism. And the key about volunteerism, which is very dear to me too, because I'm very passionate about that, because it goes into serving. And you know, Jesus said, you know, he serves us all. But you have to ignite that. You have to have people. I think you can cast the vision where people want to serve. They're not just looking for a paycheck. I tell people I'm always on. I'm on my job when I'm at the salon, when I'm in the grocery store. I'm thinking about, you know, man, what else can we do to help those people there? Or, you know, how can we? I got to bring that. I'm always on. Because in the kingdom, you're constantly advancing it. So you can bring, I think, a hunger to people that want to just, what can I do? You need me to fix the chair? What can we do today? You can ignite that in people's hearts, I believe. Because if they see the vision, and they can connect to the impact and what it's doing, people want to be a part of it. We all want to do something great. Don't you want to do something significant with your lives? Yes. Don't you want to win souls for the kingdom? Oh, yes. But you have to put that out there. That's why here, Pastor always reminds us of the vision. The vision is posted in our departments. We always have the vision in front of us. I got a 10-minute notice. Who's next, sir? Thank you for waiting.
Yes, I wanted to ask, are your recommendations, I really have two questions. Are your recommendations based on written documentation? And can you evaluate without a job description?
That's an excellent question. It would be very tough to do. Because one, the person performing isn't clear of what the establishes, the things you've established for them to complete and do. And then as a leader, I would challenge that leader. Like, well, what are you leading? How are you managing it? If you're not measuring it, you cannot manage it. So the documentation part, you ask, is it in writing?
Yes.
We have a policy manual that's in print form. Everybody gets when they come on board. I go through what's called the orientation. We share the vision. We cast that out before them. We go over every part of the policy, the operations that's documented. They sign to acknowledge we've gone over it. They understand. And then every year we do an annual review of such so that it refreshes and everybody kind of knows what's happening.
I asked that is, I had a supervisor working under me.
Yes.
And he came to me one day in my office and he said to me, I have this gentleman and I've been telling him, I've told him about 15 times. He still won't do what I ask him to do. And I asked him, I said, did you write those 15
yep.
times down?
Yep.
He said, well, no, I didn't.
Yep.
I was just trying to give him a break.
Yes.
I said, well, as far as I'm concerned, he's done it one time.
One time. You're absolutely right. And, you know, it's interesting. That type of behavior will drive you to do the point that we're making. You got to document it.
That's true.
You know, as a good example, again, is I meet people all the time and say, I'm not late. I was here on time. Like, what time were you here? I was here on time. Okay, let's look at your clock in time. They're amazed. Like, oh, it was 9:22? Yeah. So you're right. And to keep going over that, please do take out the garbage. Joy knows if he don't take out the garbage, there's no repercussions. There's no, it's what happens, nothing. So you have to kind of put them in remembrance of what's out there. Yeah. Who was next? Thank you. You're next after her. But this sister here, she was when you.
Sorry.
You
Sorry.
Yeah, thank you. Excuse me. Thank you.
My question is along the lines of my sister here.
Sure.
We're a year old,
yeah.
About 200 members.
Praise God.
So we don't have paid staff.
Right.
But we've got people like in our finance team and
yep.
doing, you know, in different places that are consistently not doing what we need them to do.
Okay.
We don't because it's not a paid position.
Right.
We don't have
right.
leaders.
Right.
With people underneath them because,
okay.
you know what I'm saying? So
yep.
we don't have job descriptions.
Okay.
But we're at the point, a year in, because certainly at the beginning of the ministry, we knew you had to put people in places to get you going.
Right.
So here we are a year in. We've kind of seen some things that have not worked, that have worked. We know we got to make some changes.
Yes.
Do we need to still have that documented system?
Yes. You need to retrain them or reposition them. Everybody cannot be a greeter in your ministry. No. I'm going to tell you something else. Everybody, even though they have kids, they can't work with kids. And I'm not knocking it. Some ministries have this requirement. If you have kids in the children's ministry, you have to. I can watch my kids, but Lord knows I need grace to watch yours. And I'm not knocking that. I love all the little children just like Jesus. But it just takes a gift, a different gift and an anointing that God equips you with. So don't justify that or compromise that. It that helps is a ministry gift. It's in Corinthians. It's a gift in the ministry, in the body to perfect the saints. Find out, because they're members and they're volunteering, find out where their gift is best served and place them there. And put a demand on them to serve there. Excuse me. I tried the children's church. Lord Jesus. I tried our school. That third-year-old boy kicked me with some boots. I saw stars, the banner, and all of that. And I spoke in tongues. Because you can't hit nobody else's child. But I said, this is not the will of God concerning me. I'll work with your mom. I'll work with Big Daddy. But when Joey kicks me, where I live, somebody picking him up off the floor.
That's right. I heard that.
My sister.
Going on my sister's question here, going back to this.
Yes.
I want to know, are your directors paid over the volunteers?
No, no.
All the directors?
Okay, there's two things. The directors is, when I was referring to earlier in the presentation, is the department directors, which is our paid staff.
Okay.
The volunteerism, the leaders, they're not paid.
Okay, so all the leaders over the volunteers are unpaid.
Right, they're volunteers. They're acknowledged or set up as official leaders. Pastor brings them in so often. He ministers to them, kind of, you know, reiterates his heart and the vision and all that. But no, they're volunteer. But they carry the title and the official role of the volunteer over the ushers, the volunteer over the prayer ministry, the volunteer over the baptism. Those are all non-paid assignments. But there isn't a fit. Because what happens when there's a challenge or something in that area, pastor is not going to call all 80 volunteers on the usher board. He's going to call Brother John and say, why did the men not greet the sister properly or give her a seat? You know what I'm trying to say? So it's one person that's accountable for the operation of that team, but those positions are not paid. Okay. Any others? Yes. I think you can project, but he wants the mic. We got about 5 minutes, and
it's real quick.
Okay.
Do they lead to paid positions?
Do they lead?
Do the volunteer positions lead to paid positions?
No.
You know
no.
what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like
it's
if somebody don't work out, it's not a career path.
No. Okay. As a matter of fact, with the spirit of volunteerism, I like to reiterate to people, it's not your inroads to the office.
That's right.
And you have to watch that. If you're volunteering just to get a direct deposit payroll check, I challenge if you are really volunteering. Can it lead? Of course. Your gift make room for you. But it's not a time and title transfer. I've been an usher for 18 years, and now I'm getting ready to be over maintenance. No, the devil is a lie. Where is that? That's not automatic. What is that? Are you serving God or are you serving for mammon? Are you trying to go after the paycheck? What's the intent of your heart? She's trying to teach this thing with me. Go, girl. Do you follow me? So here's the deal. Even with volunteerism, you have to. I think what's key with volunteerism is some of those needs we talked about. You have to make sure your volunteers understand that what they're doing is important.
Yes.
You know the story about the brother in the maintenance that came to my office?
Mm-hmm.
You should see him now. I call him Man in Blue. They wear uniforms. he gets it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're hiring, you might say, okay, we need you to vacuum, mop, take out. You know, it comes with the casting of that vision.
Value.
Absolutely. Value added. You know what you're doing when you're watching the babies and changing their diapers and singing with them and calming their little spirits? It allows the service to go uninterrupted. So when a call for souls come up, it's conducive. The atmosphere flows. You know? Because I think the enemy plots those little disturbances throughout. Someone starts coughing, sneezing, bubble back there screaming. He's like, what in the world is wrong with the baby? You know, and it's not the baby. Right? And then even with moms or parents, releasing your child in that ministry. That's tough. You know, church, we came out of the babysat with you. Noise, crackers, juice, everything was right there with you. I got here, I heard a children's ministry. I'm like, what does that mean? What happens? I was just foreign to the concept. And I go, oh, go, Cheryl. We want you to enjoy service. We're going to be here ministry. And by the way, let this go on tape. Our children's ministry, they're not just passing out cookies and juice. Those kids lay hands on the sick. This is a true story. I got 1 minute left. We have two girls. And so they teach them seed time and harvest. They do offering. And, you know, my kids like, we need money. We need seed, Mom, for offering, you know, whatever. So pastor did a series on debt cancellation and all that and speaking to our bills. And so our youngest, she took all our bills and brought them to children's church. Now, my husband and I didn't know anything about it, but she knows our desk. And you know how we got sick. Kids watch you now. You know that, right? And so one of the sisters met me after service. She's like, Sister Dixon, Brianna brought all y'all bills in. I'm like, oh, my God. Then here I go. Did y'all pray over them?
That's it. Did you pray over them?
And early on when we started here, again, we got two girls. These are true stories. We have two daughters. And so our youngest, and, you know, the babies sometimes, they just carry that extra on them or whatever. And so, you know, they were like, they do the circle prayer every morning when they come in for church. And, you know, what, anybody have any prayer requests? So she raised her hand. She's a lot like her mom. But she goes, I'm believing God for six brothers. Now, you know, the other kids was like, yeah, Brianna wants six brothers. And, you know, all the adult teachers are like, I know Sister Cheryl. That's not going on. So how do you teach them faith? You're going to pray. Now, they're looking at it like you're getting ready to pray, right, and agree. This is a true story. She met me afterwards. She said, I said, well, did you guys pray? I mean, you got to teach your faith. She said, yeah, but we canceled it after we prayed. So they were walking up to me like, you're getting ready to have six sons. I'm like, well, they'll be in the spirit. That's all I can tell you. But, you know, my point is with the children and volunteer, you know, that was great. I looked at her. I said, man, if I was in that ministry, I probably would have said, no, we're not praying for that today. But see, she had the wisdom of God on her as an instructor and as a ministry worker to be with the babies and the kids. And they were all just happy. I want a bike. And I said, why don't you ask for a bike or something? This girl wanted six brothers, not two, not one, six. Adoption. And you hear pastor's message on abundance, you know, to a kid. They're like, you know, like he said, the Christmas story. You don't put two things on your Christmas list. Most kids have like five pages on their Christmas list, right? What they want, because they have no concept of lack. They don't know about the ATM machine. They don't know about your savings account and you know, the direct deposits. They just see mama got it, daddy got it, we can get it too. You know, we can have it. So anyway, any other questions in closing? Yes, we're officially done if those of you who have to go. So yes.
I just wanted.
Oh, and don't forget, they're telling me, excuse me, I want to hear your question. Don't forget about the evaluations forms for those of you that need to depart. Just place them on the table with our volunteer staff in the back. And thank you so much. And those of you that continue to have questions, I'm still here. Thank you again. I appreciate you. Thank you.